Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Today on ESPN Daily, Alex Smith suffered one of the most gruesome injuries in NFL history. Nearly cost him his leg, nearly cost him his life in 2018. Smith reflects on his ordeal, and ESPN's Stefania Bell details the amazing medical effort to treat him. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. And Stefania's going to join us in about 10 minutes here on 98.7. I can't imagine. Do you see how many surgeries he had, Rick?
I think it's, what, 17 surgeries on his leg?
17 surgeries.
Yeah, it's crazy.
For the one injury.
Yeah, well, I mean, Chris, you saw Chris's wrist. I mean, once you start getting an infection inside the bone in the surgery, yeah, I mean, that's touch and go at that point.
And they're saying he had a flesh-eating bacteria in his leg. I mean, that was it's a gruesome injury to start with, but when you have the complication of the infection and then getting sepsis, it's just – it was a whole lot going on in Alex Smith's life that I don't think anybody had a clue about. Like, we knew it was going to be, you know, a long road to recovery for that type of injury that he had, but I don't think anybody had any idea, you know, what he was going through at that time.
Yeah, so that's tonight. It's an hour, 7:30 to 8:30. It's E60, and Stefania Bell, she was with him for a year and went to, you know, the hospital and doctors and all sorts of stuff, so she'll join us at about 12:15. Did you see the story? This is unbelievable to me. David Falk said that Michael Jordan was offered $100 million to make either a two-hour appearance or something involved with a company for 2 hours and turned it down.
I didn't see that. Did he explain why he turned it down?
He just said Michael is very selective in the things that he decides to do it and not do.
Yeah, I mean, there would have to be a really good reason to turn down $100 million for
$100 million.
Dave, he doesn't look at $100 million the way that we do.
Yeah, but when was that? Was that recently? That couldn't have been recently.
I don't think it was that long ago.
I mean, who's got enough money to offer someone $100 million for 2 hours?
Now you're asking the right question, Rico.
Dude, what kind of company is this, right?
Did you see the other story? I was going to bring this up a while back, but we ran out of time and I forgot about it.
Here's what it says. $100 million appearance fee to show up in an event. Why? Simply because he just didn't feel like showing up. He didn't want to do it.
Yeah, when you have as much money as Michael Jordan does, I mean, why would you do something that you don't want to do? At that point, is the money really that significant? He's got enough money to get anything. He's got enough money to get anything that he wants, Dave.
Here's how it goes down, Rick. So it was 3 years ago. Falk says for $100 million, all he had to do was, other than giving his name and likeness, make one 2 hour appearance to announce the deal, turned it down, didn't want to do it.
To announce what deal, though? I mean, it would depend on what the deal is. Like, maybe he didn't feel comfortable with the company or whatever it was?
I guess.
You can't, if it's just because you don't want to give up 2 hours, I don't care how much money you have, that's unacceptable. 2 hours for $100 million? Come on.
$100 million.
It's crazy. Would you care to guess? You probably saw the story, maybe you forgot. When Michael Jordan left the NBA to play baseball, would you care to guess which Major League Baseball GM offered him a spot on the Major League roster?
So it's got to be a team obviously looking for attention.
Doesn't have to be team. It could just think GM.
GM looking for attention, though, right?
Oh, yeah, for attention. I mean, maybe he has done this recently. Tried this recently.
With Tebow?
Oh, yeah. Sandy Alderson.
Really?
Yeah. Offered him a spot right on the Major League roster. Didn't have to go play in the minors. But because Reinsdorf owned the White Sox and Jordan wanted to actually feel like he earned it, he said no.
Well, that would have been a farce. I mean, Michael Jordan in the majors would have been awful.
Yeah, but people would have showed up, though, Dave.
Of course they would have.
People would have been there.
it almost feels like that's anti-Sandy Alderson, though, doesn't it?
Yeah,
knowing
the man based on, yeah, I'm with you on that one, Dave.
But he brought Tebow into the Mets organization. He didn't say, like, you're going to be our starting left fielder every day.
Yeah, but Tim Tebow's not Michael Jordan.
I know.
I mean, Tim Tebow didn't just come off three straight NBA championships. The biggest, I mean, at that point, was Michael Jordan the biggest celebrity in the world at that point?
In the world.
Mm-hmm.
Ha! So, I mean, where do you think Michael Jordan ranks now as biggest celebrity in the world?
Well, after the release of this documentary that everyone's watching?
He's still got to be up there, Dave. I mean, right? His sneakers alone made $130 million last year.
I mean, he's been retired for, what, 20 years?
And yes.
So think about that. You think that there's any athlete? You think Pat Mahomes, so say he plays another 10 years. So say 30 years from now, you think that Pat Mahomes is going to be at that level of celebrity?
No. No,
I don't see that.
Michael Jordan pioneered. I mean, he took the NBA and made it a global entity. I mean, how many Tiger Woods is there going to be?
I can't foresee another.
Okay, so I mean, there's something to be said about the first one to do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think LeBron could. I don't know that he'll be at that level, but I think LeBron's going to be a big deal 20 years after he retires.
Yeah, I think LeBron will be a big deal, but he won't be as big as Jordan.
No.
And I think that's the point. Like Rick said, when you're the first one through the door in terms of being able to brand yourself as an athlete and then globalize your game the way that he has, I mean, I don't see another athlete being able to do that. Like, I mean, Tom Brady for football, Tiger Woods for golf. I mean, like, it's going to be that much harder to do it. I don't think that you're going to have any athletes in those respective sports come along and eclipse what those guys have done.
Yeah, you could be right. Let's quickly go to a call or two, and then we'll bring in Stefania Bell, who's going to join us. Let's go to Jack in Hackensack. Jack, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. I'm in a lot better frame of mind than the last time I spoke with you. But first off, let me thank you guys for what you do. All us hospital workers need a little break, and we can turn you guys on and get the break that we need. Secondly, with good news from the hospital, we have our admissions are way, way down. Our discharges are way, way up. We're still not out of the woods, but we're doing great. Let me get to the Jets a little bit. I've been a season ticket holder since 1977, consecutive. And I love when you had Joe Douglas on. He knows what he's doing. Sounds like he wants to keep Adams. And I think the draft picks were great so far. So, again, thank you guys for everything you're doing for us.
Oh, well, thank you for everything you're doing for us. I mean, really, we're just sitting here talking sports, which is not so different than what we do on a day-in, day-out basis. But it's people like you that are making the huge difference. James in the Bronx. James, you're next up on 98.7.
First time, long time. What's going on, fellas?
What's up, James?
Not much. I have a question for all of you, but Chris Kenny, I want your expertise on this one.
What you got?
What do you think? I'm from the Bronx too, brother, so good to speak to you.
BX, stand up.
Yeah, you already. I just want to say, what do you think about the Dallas Cowboys just getting done with Dak Prescott and bringing in Cam Newton?
I don't think that's going to happen. Dak Prescott is your future. Cam Newton is just a bridge to that future. I don't know why you would get rid of a guy that you can have a decade of good quarterback play from for a guy that you're only going to have for two or three seasons.
But because he wants a lot of money, $30 million, above $30 million, that's going to take a lot from.
That's the going rate for quarterbacks, man. They just paid Wentz and Goff $34 million a year. Those are two quarterbacks that were a part of his draft class. I mean, that's Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are just going to have to come to grips that that's what Dak Prescott is going to cost. And while they're right in the middle of that Super Bowl window, I don't know why you would interrupt what you've been building toward by changing your quarterback.
Very valid. Very valid. Thanks, man. I appreciate you guys.
My man.
All right. Thank you, James. We appreciate it. All right. Let's turn our attention to the documentary that debuts tonight, 7:30 on ESPN. And that, of course, is the Alex Smith story on E60. And a good friend of mine, Stefania Bell, heavily involved in putting this hour-long feature together. We welcome her in. Of course, she's from the award-winning fantasy focus podcast, Stefania Bell. How you doing, Stefania?
I'm good, Dave. I miss you.
I miss you as well. We had some fun times doing fantasy football on Sunday mornings. All right, let's get right to it. First of all, how did this come about, this story with you getting involved in the Alex Smith injury and kind of detailing it for a year? And like, what's the genesis of how this whole thing started for you?
It started with a phone call from Dr. Robin West, the team physician for Washington, who obviously through the course of all this has become very close with Alex and his wife, Elizabeth. And it was January, and he had been through the most harrowing part of this experience, his early stay in the hospital. And recognized that he still faced a very long road to recovery and had asked her who he could look to as an example, who's been through this type of thing before, who should I reach out to? And she had to tell him, there really isn't anyone who's had an injury quite like yours. And I think those conversations led to the idea that maybe it would be a good thing to document the past, because who knows who it might impact, or somebody going through something similar that it might help. And so that was the origin. Dr. West and I have known each other professionally for a number of years because of my background in sports medicine. And she told Alex and his wife she thought I would be a good fit for the story. And so we had a phone call, all of us, and agreed to do it. And I brought it to ESPN, and the rest is history.
Stefania, I know you kind of mentioned it in, you know, reading some of the stuff, watching some of the stuff previous with Alex Smith and the injury and everything else. In your career, had you ever seen, I mean, all in total with the, you know, the bacteria and everything else, had you ever seen anything as bad as what Alex Smith was dealing with?
No, not in my personal experience. I mean, certainly I've heard about these type of injuries, and you know, we talk in the piece, and we've talked about them going down to San Antonio to the military medical center because his injury was much more resembled a war injury as opposed to a sports injury. So, you know, yes, those types of injuries exist, but they typically come from the battlefield, not from the football field.
Stefania, you talked about everything, you know, the thought process in terms of why you guys wanted to document it. But in looking at this situation from a mental health standpoint, was this documentation of this process, was that in any way therapeutic for Alex?
That's a really interesting question, and you'd have to ask him. You know, that's a great question. No one's asked me that, and I don't know. You know, we made a commitment to be as authentic as possible. Alex wanted it to be very real. He wanted it to be represent the good days and the bad days. In other words, we were given this access that was complete, and there was never a time when he said, you know, I'm not having the greatest day, let's not do this, or I don't want you in for this doctor's appointment, you know, I don't know what the news is going to be. He was, once he committed, he was all in, and he wanted us there. And I think that it was empowering to him and his wife to be able to deliver this story in total, as opposed to the rumors and speculation, which, of course, there was a lot of that in the early phase. And that's sort of why they went quiet. You know, it was just, there was too much, and it was a complicated injury, and they just didn't really want to talk about it until they could tell the complete story. So I think there was a sense of controlling that narrative, and not that they controlled the content, we did, but they had us there for all of it so that we could really see all the ins and outs and the nuances. And I think they trusted that this would be the more complete, as I said, authentic story for them. And so I do think that that had to provide some sort of positive, you know, positivity for Alex. But again, you'd have to ask him, and I think it's a really great question.
Stefania Bell with us here on 98.7 ESPN. So for those that don't know, I mean, he suffered this gruesome injury back in 2018. I think it was against the Texans. But how bad was, like, there was a real chance that he was going to die, right? And then on top of that, then once they knew that he was going to live, there was a realer chance that he could potentially lose his leg at some point. I mean, tell people how bad, how severe this really was.
You're exactly right. There was a chance that he could lose his life. Essentially, what happened when he had the injury, he had this complex fracture, and a spiral fracture of his tibia shin bone that went from his ankle up to his knee. And most people think of a fracture like a clean break across the bone, right? The line that you see on an x-ray. Well, his was as if it was a corkscrew up the leg. And so that left a lot of sharp edges and pieces. And one of those poked through the skin. And the minute you have an open wound that's created by a fracture, you have the opportunity to introduce all sorts of bacteria. And that's why it becomes an emergency situation. You get to the hospital, they take you to surgery, they wash out the wound, they flood you with antibiotics, and they repair the fracture. And all those things were done. But bacteria are microscopic, and sometimes they're pretty resilient, and it just takes a couple of them to hunker down, and then they can surface later and become a problem. And that's essentially what happened. And within a few days of him having the injury on the field, the infection had taken over, and that's what threatened his life. And so that touch-and-go phase, I would say, was there for about a week. And there was a point where there was a question of whether they might have to sacrifice his leg to save his life, but they wanted to preserve it if they could. And ultimately, as we all know, he still has his leg. But even when he got out from that, the damage had been done to his leg from the tissue damage that the infection had caused. And so there was still a period of time where Alex was uncertain whether he would ultimately be able to keep his leg. And I think that struggle is quite remarkable, and I think you'll get a sense of that when you watch the piece.
Stefania, what role did Alex's kids play in, you know, him wanting to document this and how hard he fought to try to get back to where he is now?
I think that was definitely a big part of it was, you know, this is a family story too. And I think that will resonate with a lot of people. Alex's number one goal when he was out of the hospital was to get back to being a dad and a husband like he used to be. You know, he wanted to be able to run around with his kids, and his kids are young. They're active as all young kids are, and sports kids. And he just wanted to be able to play with them and do things with them again. That was his number one motivator. But I think, because they were shielded from the worst of it, as you would expect. Elizabeth, his wife, did a remarkable job of sort of holding down the fort at home and being there for her husband. And, you know, I think them being able to have this story as a family and at some point to be able to say, these are all the things that we went through and look, we're thriving. It's a pretty strong testament to the integrity of the family.
Stefania, I know Alex's health and general well-being should be the focal point of everything that's going on around this documentary, but is there any thought about Alex returning to football in any capacity?
Well, Alex has said himself that remains a very real goal. And I will tell you one thing I learned about this guy. He is uber competitive, driven, focused, like laser focused, and he proceeded to demonstrate over and over again that he could exceed expectations. All these goals in physical therapy that were laid out for him and goals that he made for himself, he just kept outperforming. And I think as that happened along the way, it became apparent to him that, hey, football might be a real possibility. And he loves the challenge. And now he's got this challenge of potentially being able to do something no one's ever done before. And I think that challenge appeals to him and motivates him. So whether it happens or not, who's to say? It's hard even in the context of what's going on with the COVID-19 pandemic to appreciate what a normal football schedule will look like. We don't even know. So timelines are potentially skewed. We don't know at this point. And that also could impact what happens. But right now, he's doing all the other things his teammates are doing, virtual workouts, studying the playbook, preparing for an NFL season. So I've said this once, and I'll say it 100 times. I will not be the one who say that Alex can't come back. He certainly impressed me along this journey, and I am a believer at this point. And given the recovery he's made to date, that if this is something he wants to do, wouldn't surprise me at all if he does it.
Last one for me, Stefania. And Stefania Bell here with us here on 98.7 ESPN. I know if this was me, if I had an injury like that and had 17 surgeries and almost lost my life and the leg was almost amputated, that my wife would say, it's not going to happen. You had a terrific career. You're not going back and playing this again. I mean, what does his wife say when he says, I'd like to give this another shot of going back to the NFL?
Well, Dave, you've given me a great chance to plug my piece that's on ESPN.com today that's written through the eyes of his wife, Elizabeth.
You think this is an accident? This is no accident, Stefania. I've known you for a long time. I know the questions to ask.
You're kind of good at this hosting gig. They should keep you. So I don't totally want to give it away because I really, really want you to go and read and see what she says. But I will tell you that, you know, as you would expect, it's a complicated answer. She was the only one who was coherent through all of the time that he was in the hospital. You know, Alex was on a substantial amount of pain medication and wasn't really present for the worst part of it. So as awful as it was for him to nearly lose his life, he honestly didn't realize that was happening around him. And so, as you say, for her going through all of that, you can imagine that the prospect of doing anything that would potentially put him at jeopardy again is daunting. But as I said, it's a complicated answer, and she addresses it. So go take a look at the piece.
Yeah, that would be difficult. That would be difficult. I mean, just worrying about if, you know, you made that decision and told him no, if he would resent you later, not being. Stefania, I want to ask you one, just this is not related to Alex Smith, but I figured I'd ask you because we keep talking about it every single day because he's still not signed. How concerned are teams with Cam Newton's health? Is there real concern? Is that the reason why he's not signed yet?
You know, I don't think level of concern is reflected in that. I just think it's literally they can't do physicals. Nobody can see him. And until they're at a point where travel is permitted, and I think that you're going to see some of that, you know, who knows, as things change in different states, I think there's going to be some ability for some players to get physicals done. And maybe for others, it will be more of a challenge. I mean, when travel's involved, it starts to get more difficult. But in cities, if a player's located in the same city as the team physician and they want to bring them in for a physical, you know, some of these facilities were just closed or team physicians were being shuffled to different roles or just not allowed to do elective patient visits, et cetera. So, is it really a function of what's happening regionally and locally? But you might see that some players will be able to get a physical done, and then others, you know, if they were going to be somebody who's potentially moving across the country, for example, that might present more of a challenge. But I think in the case of Cam, if teams can't see him and bring him in and decide for themselves, he's going to remain in limbo. And that doesn't surprise me. I mean, he's coming off not only the foot surgery recently, but he never really resumed much playing after having his shoulder scoped again. So teams are going to want to take a closer look.
Stefania, generally speaking, how real is the concern around the injury rate going up as athletes look to return to sports?
I think it's all about the ramp-up time. I've spoken with a couple of head athletic trainers and team physicians about that exact topic, and one of my friends said to me, you know, give me 6 to 8 weeks with the guys, and I'll feel pretty good. That's about the amount of time I'd like to see them have to, you know, if they come in shape and we get, you know, this about 6 weeks with them, I would feel pretty good. But if it's, nobody wants to see a short ramp-up time because we always know that injuries tend to spike during training camp and again in the preseason early on, especially soft tissue injuries. And that comes from lack of conditioning. And even if guys have good intentions, people have different setups. I mean, some people really just can't train the way they normally would. So I think it's hard to expect them to come in and be just football ready, and we'll do a shortened version of training camp. So I think the collective intelligence would say we can't make this a super short ramp-up time or we're going to run into trouble with injury.
All right, Stefania, we appreciate a couple minutes. I know it's going to be great tonight on ESPN 730, the Alex Smith E60, and how heavily involved you are and from the beginning of this whole thing. So thanks so much. Continued success to you, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me. I hope you guys enjoy the program.
All right, thanks. That, of course, is Stefania Bell. I got to tell you, I'm really, and I don't know if it's like a morbid thing. I don't think it is. I'm really looking forward to watching this tonight at 1 hour E60, 7:30.
Yeah, when you see what he's going to go through during the course of this documentary.
You saw the photo that I tweeted out the other day, right?
Yeah, I saw the photo. When I keep watching, I mean, some of the clips that they show teasing leading into tonight. And, I mean, when you talk about the amount of damage that this bacteria did to his leg and how much work it took to try to get his leg back to where, I mean, he could actually maybe someday be able to use it. Like, there was no guarantee that even if they, you know, did whatever they could to try to save the leg, that he'd have use of it. That he'd be able to move his, like, lift his foot. And to think that he's now actually doing virtual, I mean, he's doing the virtual offseason program, expecting that maybe he could play football again, is you're going to be, you won't believe it. It won't make any sense to you.
Is he still part of a team?
Yeah,
yeah, it's Washington.
He's still on Washington.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, man, and you guys can certainly speak to this more than I ever could. Rick, I mean, if you had an injury like this, wouldn't your wife just say, like, it's not worth it. You got to shut it down?
No.
No, she would want you to wanted to?
No, because it's, I mean, when you have, and her wife, I mean, his wife went through the worst of it. I mean, when it's a legitimate partnership and it's, I mean, you got kids and your wife's doing, you know, all the extra stuff to make sure that you can do exactly what you need to do, and you're put in a situation where, you know, he battles back from this and now gives himself the opportunity. She doesn't want him to, but she doesn't want to be the one to tell him he can't, because now all of a sudden what happens? You know what
right.
I mean?
Like, you know, for the rest of his... I do get it, because now you're going to have issues forever because she wouldn't let you come back.
Yeah, like now you resent her for that.
But I don't even think it's a thought in the athlete's mind. I mean, I didn't have any injury anywhere near as serious as what Alex had to deal with, but I told you guys about the injury I had in college where my kneecap and my foot were facing opposite directions. I mean, that was a situation where I tore three ligaments and they were worried about damage to the artery and the nerve in that area. And you were talking about whether or not it was a situation they needed to amputate. But I mean, in my mind, I never once thought that if I keep my leg, I never once thought about not playing football. Not once.
It's amazing.
So I don't even know if that's a part of your mentality when you're going through something. Now, I will say this. Alex, you know, he had to have a hell of an optimistic outlook, because, I mean, your mind goes into some dark places, but according to Stefania, she didn't see any of that. So I think that's a testament to the man and the mental fortitude that he has, like, because that's about as bad as it can get as far as injuries go in the NFL, Dave. I mean, that's awful. I mean, and the fact that he was able to see his way through to the other side of this thing, even to be in position to consider coming back to football, I mean, that just shows you the character of the person you're dealing with.
Sure does. All right, guys, this is literally hot off the press. The UFC makes its return on May 9th and will feature a double main event live on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. First, you can see number one ranked lightweight contender Tony Ferguson square off against number four Justin Gaethje. Then a bantamweight bout between Henry Cejudo and Dominic Cruz. UFC 249 finally here, 98.7 ESPN, getting you ready with the Sweat at Home contest. Here's your chance to score a 98.7 UFC prize pack. We're asking our listeners to send us an innovative in-home workout video that we'll judge on creativity, clarity, and length. Make sure to keep your submission to under 30 seconds. Tweet us your video with our show handle, at DCR on ESPN. Use the hashtag 987sweatathome. Are you following this, Rick?
Yeah, I'm following it. Yeah.
Tweet. I'm going to go through it again because I don't know that you are. Tweet us your video with our show handle, at DCR on ESPN, and then use hashtag 987sweatathome. To see the official rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com, all brought to you by DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays from 10 to 1. On 98.7 ESPN, getting you ready for UFC 249 on May 9th on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Now, are we going to have voting rights in who wins this thing?
I think that's above my pay grade. I'm not going to even guess on that.
I'd like to see something.
I would too. I mean, I would hope so. I mean, it's our hashtag and everything else, but who knows? Yeah. We're just pawns in this big game.
Chris, you'd like to vote on who's going to win, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, Dave. I want to have some say.
Yeah, I think that'd be nice.
Yeah,
I would, and this is quite a given.
I realize that's probably not going to happen, but I would like to have some say.
Why couldn't? Here's what I think should happen. So they're going to get lots of entries, right? At DCR on ESPN. That's how you tweet and use hashtag 987 sweat at home. They get hundreds of entries. I don't need to see, you know, hundreds. What I would like is like the final three. Dave, Chris, Rick. Here's our final three. What do you guys think about it?
I think if you release your video of the Giants winning the
Super Bowl. I'm not releasing my video. And I'm being told by very, very upper management that, yes, in fact, all three of us will judge this.
So I think you release the video.
I'm not releasing the video.
First of all, you're eating up my segment. Second of all, you should release the video and then you'll win all the UFC swag.
I think he should release the video, Rick, just because he's not going to be able to get in the ring with the heavyweight. Like, he's not going to be able to pay that off. So, I mean, he might as well release the video.
No, I don't want to take any more observations up, and it was a great point you made. So, Rick, let's go ahead and let's start observations.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, so I got some good news to lead off today's Knobservation, this Friday edition of Knobservations. I made it up to Ella. I did not have the ghost veggie sticks, so I went with I just got done making them a graham cracker and marshmallow cream sandwich.
Well, when are you doing this?
In that last 4 minute break.
So we go to break, you run upstairs, start making specialty sandwiches, and then run back down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're an amazing guy.
I try my best. Dave, this is for you because I know you are really, really interested. So I'm sitting here looking at the all-in challenge. You got a chance at this, my man. I mean, it's still at 13.
What, the Lawrence Taylor golfing and dinner?
Golf and dinner with Lawrence Taylor at Trump National in New Jersey, 13 grand.
I would do it.
Of course you would do it.
I don't know that my wife will sign off on this, though.
I think she has to. It's in New Jersey. This is not Vegas. It's not Vegas, Dave.
It should be Vegas, though.
The 17th hole is actually, it's a golf hole. So there's nothing to worry about. It's just dinner, questions, it's perfect.
Now, can I, prices right this thing and just go 13,001? Or do I have to go to, like, another mark of, like, 14,000?
No, I think you just go with your bid. Go 13,500. Go 13,500. See if it sticks. I would try it at least. At least put yourself in the game.
Listen, I would play the game. I don't see Sherry as signing off on spending $13,500 right now.
Yeah, I don't see that either.
I can't believe it's only 13,000 still.
That should go for upwards of 75 grand.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, they got a Birkin bag. They have a Birkin bag right now going for $110,000.
Oh, my God.
That's what Birkin bags go for.
They go for 100.
No, not 100.
Like the normal Birkin bag.
There are some Birkin bags that go for
000?
Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yes.
Yeah, this is a special one. This one's painted. You know the guy who does the Monopoly paintings, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of his.
Oh, it's one of his, yeah.
Yeah, 100.
They get expensive. They get pricey.
Ooh, that's crazy.
They get pricey.
$100,000.
Yeah, that's tough. Here we go. We'll start off with, did this happen in Florida? Dave, you're going to love this. This is right around the corner for you. So is this Florida where all of a sudden now, because of the current situation, children no longer have to actually take their on-road driving test to receive their license?
Now,
they have to complete the entire process, mm-hmm. but no longer will they have to partake in the actual driver's test, the on-road driver's test.
Which is unbelievable. That you could say just you know, pass this written test and now you can drive a car all over the place. It is shocking. It is concerning. Now, I'm going to be honest with you because that's what I do. I bring honesty to the show. I saw the story. I'm going to refrain from answering.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you trust that the parents are going to actually make the kids drive the 40 hours of supervised driving, or are they just going to sign off on it because they just want them to have their license?
No, I think they'll sign off on it.
Yeah,
I don't trust anybody. Do you? I mean, what we've seen, do you trust anybody anywhere at this point?
At this point, probably not, no.
No.
No, I don't. No. And there are plenty of people, I mean, that just don't need to have licenses right now either.
I think Chris and Ray, when you find out where this story took place, it won't surprise you even a little bit.
Christopher Candy, is this Florida?
Yes.
Christopher Candy says Florida. Ray Santiago, is this Florida?
I'm abstaining because I know.
No, I was giving you an opportunity. I know you sent me the story, dummy. I was trying to give you an opportunity to be right.
Oh, no, I'm not upsetting Dave again because he's very sensitive about that.
Sensitive? You sent him a story. He asked you where it took place, and you answered it with a specific location. How am I sensitive?
Like I said, I'm abstaining.
It's very like sensitive. That sounds something like Portland.
Very sensitive.
Yeah, because you sent them the story and knew it was Portland.
Very sensitive. That was not Florida. That was Georgia. That was Georgia.
Florida adjacent.
You said I wouldn't be surprised about where it happened.
You're surprised at Georgia?
I'm not surprised, but I mean, the segment is, did it happen in Florida? I wouldn't be surprised. I just thought you were kind of giving me the clues to say,
it's
Florida.
I just think that Georgia is like the right arm of Florida at this point.
Well, it's akin, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Florida, as Rosenberg would say, it's Florida adjacent.
Yeah,
very much. Chris, Dave also recommends that you watch Downhill this afternoon.
I did not.
Oh, okay.
I did not, nor would I.
I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. Santiago sent me this yesterday. So this is apparently from the University of Miami down in Florida.
I'll say yes, Florida.
This is definitely Florida. This is not a question. I just need you to see this. So you know how we're doing all this online online schooling and everything else? So he sends me, and this is somebody screenshotted their online class, and it says, my professor is sharing his screen with the class. The professor doesn't realize that he's sharing his screen with the class. and on the, like, you know, the, like the recent web searches
yes.
that come up on your screen.
It says, Oh no.
Busty college girl.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, no.
It's gold. It's priceless.
And this became public.
Oh yeah. Oh no.
Oh God.
Oh man. Okay, that's it. And then we got one more, just the final one. And this is knobbish behavior. This is NFL knobbish behavior. Todd Gurley's not going to file a grievance. But
Clay Matthews did though, right?
Yeah, he did. They owe him $2 million. Come on, Stan Kroenke. You're worth $10 billion. Pay these guys their money, would you please?
Well, how can you get off without paying that money? I don't understand.
Oh, they're saying they're going to pay them, but the language in the contract doesn't actually specify when they have to pay them.
They're trying to hold that money as long as possible.
Exactly right. And Stanley Kroenke is wealthy.
So Rick, you don't become a billionaire without screwing over a couple of people.
That's a good point.
The mentality is that you can kind of understand it.
Excellent point.
That's
kind of
gross,
point.
Though.
Yeah, it is gross. It's ridiculous. But, I mean, the whole L.A. Rams thing, I mean, that's not headed the right direction, I don't feel like, at this point.
No.
I mean, that awful logo. Ugh.
But they got close, though, Rick. They got to a Super Bowl. I mean, had they won it, I think everybody would say that it was worth it. But the fact that they didn't, now you're realizing – you know, all the consequences for going all in on those couple of seasons.
Yeah. No, you're completely right. But, I mean, even just looking at that division now, I mean, where would you rank them in that division?
I still think they're third.
Third.
But Arizona's coming, though.
Yeah, they could surprise. I mean, Arizona could be one of those teams. Next week, Dave, we should start doing some of the, they got the over-unders out. We should start looking at some
over-under starting on Tuesday next week.
Ooh. Nice little tease.
That's right.
There you go, boys. That is a Friday edition of Knobservations.
All right. That was just beautifully, beautifully done. why do you laugh?
No, because I'm just thinking about this teacher. What are you doing, man? You're sharing your screen.
How do you move forward, though?
Like, no, you can't. You don't.
If your most recent search, what was it? Busty college students?
Yeah, busty college girl.
Busty college girls.
Like, wow.
How do you walk in on the first day of the next semester? Be like, all right, hi.
No, you can't.
Mr. Bellavacqua.
You can't do it. No, he was fired. You have to get fired for that, don't you?
But why? Why do you have to be fired for that?
Because you're teaching college kids.
Is that frowned on at the University of Miami?
Is that a real question?
No, I'm being, like, what? You have to be fired because you looked up something on your private computer and accidentally shared it?
You shared it.
Yeah, you shared it.
It was an accident.
But you teach college kids, and your Google search is "busty college girl." I mean, what is?
It's probably not a website that his students don't know.
I don't know. It's not a great look.
There's a lot of layers.
It's not a great look.
Tuesday after over unders, we'll really dive deep into this story.
Oh, and I forgot to mention too. Did you guys see our buddy Will Reeve doing the GMA hit in his underwear?
But did you see he had the camera like pointed down?
Yeah, but I think it's because they usually have the graphic, right, where his pants would have been. And then they got rid of the graphic and he was just in his underwear.
But you know what? Good thing for Will, he owned it. He was like, yes, I was wearing shorts. I look ridiculous. I apologize. And then it's just fun.
Yeah, it's fun. You just got to laugh at yourself. I love it.
Yeah. Everyone's dealing with this. So, yeah. But that was a funny story. In these trying times, very important to remember we pull together as a community. Small business owners all over going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you're a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send us an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com. Let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. All right, what do we have coming up today? I know that's a pressing question you guys want to know. Barton Hahn comes your way in about 3 minutes. Damian Woody will join the show at 1:30. PJ Carlissimo will join the show at 2 o'clock on the Michael Kay Show. Scott Boris, 5 o'clock, and on the Chris Carlin Show, who may acquire the best guests of any show here on the station. Jeff McNeil will join his show at some point. So, Rick, I know you're a loyal listener of the station. You're going to have quite the listening day ahead of you.
Yeah, I'm a P1. Not only am I a P1, I'm also, I view the K Show on the Yes Network too. So, I mean, I'm giving everything I have.
Got it covered on all angles, huh?
Yeah. All a lot of consumption for you.
Kids get upset though when I change the channel. Oh, we're going to watch the radio. I said, well, it's not actually the radio. It's the K Show on the, it's on the radio.
So what, any big plans this weekend? It's supposed to be a nice weekend, actually.
No big plans. I mean, same as you. Try to get the kids out of the house and keep them active. That's
you try and run them so that they're more tired at night?
No, they're not thoroughbreds. No, they're trying to run them.
We try to exhaust our kids.
You try to run them?
Yeah, it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. They're like, boy, we're so tired. We're just getting to bed. Okay, bye. Because your kids go to bed early. What time do your kids go to bed?
7:30-ish.
Yeah. My kids will stay up till midnight if they're not exhausted.
Yeah, but you have older kids. Like they can take care of themselves. Like there's no running my kids. I can't just send Milo outside and go, hey, go run around.
Yeah, no, we're gonna run them.
He'll end up on Northern Boulevard. I mean, what are you
gonna do? And that would be frowned upon, yes?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. All right, I'm gonna attempt to watch some Ozarks this week.
Please, Dave, please.
Do it. Guys. I promise you, at a minimum, I will start it this weekend.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.